Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh, is daf Samach Hey, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah at the very top of the daf. So we're moving on now into the post Avodah Zarah area, but that has to do with all types of superstitions and magical beliefs, and all types of strange practices of sorcery and all things like that that are connected directly with beliefs in Avodah Zarah. As the Rambam puts it, all of them into the same parak and views them as extensions. These are all the chukei ha'akum, as he calls it. They're all ways in which people who believe in these gods are also going to come to believe in all types of nonsense. And all of this is now where we turn. Remember that the transition, actually a segue between Avodah Zarah and between these things, is the Molach. And that's what we did yesterday, and that is the perfect segue, because according to some, it even is an actual Avodah Zarah. And according to others, it's just a general type of Avodah that's associated with belief in things like this. But it is an Avodah. So we go from Avodah Zarah, in terms of icons, to the Avodah, which is Zarah, to the Zarut per se, the type of things that are associated with such Zarut. Baal Ov. So the next thing that we want to talk about is the question of what exactly this Baal Ov means. Because we know that the Torah puts all of these things together. We have the Lo Yimatzei Becha Ma'vir b'no u'bito b'eish. Ah, okay, so that's the first. That's the Moloch that we discussed yesterday. Kosem kisavim kisamim mo'onen u'minachesh u'michashev v'chover chover v'shoel ov v'yedoni v'doresh el hamitim. So we want to move on from the segue of Ma'vir b'no u'bito b'eish to now to get into the various specifics, and the first of which we'll talk about is the Baal Ov. And after we go through them, we'll try to figure out why we go in this order. So what exactly is a Baal Ov? So a Baal Ov is a pitom, it's a type of strange sorcerer, who speaks. What he does is he is essentially pretends, or, you know, people believe for real, he speaks with the dead. So I think in English it's a necromancer, and the sound of the voice of the dead seems to be coming from underneath his armpit, where there's a sound, where he's got a little, you know, a little speaker concealed, but whatever. There's all types of ways of doing this kind of stuff. And the Yidoni is someone who puts a particular bone into his mouth, and the dead speaks through that, through his mouth. And he doesn't move his mouth. Very impressive. Hare elu b'skila. Remember that in both of these cases, we learned out before, that actually Ov and Yidoni, and this is why it would come first, Ov and Yidoni is one of the places where we learn out that essential din, that wherever we find the words demehem bam, it means be'evan yergemuotam. That's all because of the way that we compare things specifically to Ov and Yidoni as the model for demehem bam. So those who actually do such things would be chayiv skila. Somebody who comes to ask, what shall I do, and asks advice from the dead, similar to the story about Shaul HaMelech, where Shaul HaMelech was desperate and needed to speak to Shmuel, and he goes to this woman who's a Baalat Ov. So it says, besides the din of the Ose Ov V'Yedoni, there's also a separate Isser, which is Al Tifnu Ela Ovot Ve'El HaYedonim. So to turn to them, and it says, Beferish Lo Yimetzei Becha Shoel of Enyedoni. There's a machlokas about how to learn exactly the psukim, whether it's a reference specifically to a shoel. When it says altifnu, does it mean altifnu by doing it, or does it mean altifnu by asking it? In which case, what's the meaning of the shoel of Enyedoni? And actually, it's a machlokas over here, Rashi and Tosfos, exactly which is referring to which. And let's see, as we go along, whether we can get a better understanding of it. And the Rambam, remember, has a general approach, and he says it here, too, in the Pirush HaMishnah, that besides what he writes in Mishneh Torah, that all of this is nonsense, and that it's just people's crazy belief and the ability to influence their beliefs. So here he actually speaks out fascinatingly, that he says, you see, that people who are left alone, they very often start hallucinating, and they hear voices around them. And this issue of the Oven Yedoni is all stuff like that, where people hallucinate through mental suggestion, and it isn't real. And this was a whole discussion, of course, by the various Gaonim and by the various Rishonim about what would be the meaning, if that were true, what would be the meaning of Shaul HaMelech speaking to Shmuel. It's a very confusing sugya. And we certainly treat it as if we're talking about an actual phenomenon. And remember that ultimately, to make a clear-cut distinction between actual phenomena and mental phenomena is not that simple. All right, people used to think it was very simple, and it's becoming eminently clear that it's hard to draw a line in these kind of things. Anyway, the question is that in the Mishnah it says, Baal ov vidoni. And yet when it lists in Masechet Kritot, it lists all of the 36 different things that the Torah was Mechayev Karas for. And over there, it does not mention yidoni. It just says Baal ov. Vishayre lidoni. And over there, it's the list of the 36 Kritot in order to be able to define what you bring a Korban Chatas on, because every Isser is a separate Korban Chatas. So why would it have not mentioned Yedoni in that list? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Hoel Ushneim Belav Echad Ne'emru. The reason is because since it says, Al Tifnu El Ha'avot Ve'el Ha'Yedonim, at least that's what Rashi says over here, which means that what we thought that Rashi Shita was before, which is not the Al Tifnu, but rather the Shoel of Vyedoni, and that was Lo Yimatzei Becha, Shoel of Vyedoni, that was the Mokar of the Isser. Here, he brings the Pasuk of Al Tifnu El Avot Ve'El HaYedonim, that the Pnia does not mean the Pnia to ask, but the Pnia actually is the Asiya. So it means don't turn to for solutions. So since they're all mentioned in one pasuk, it's actually one iser, and because of that, you would not be chayav two separate chataot if you did both of them. Rish Lakish says that's not why. It's because Yedoni doesn't do anything. So basically, the Yedoni puts this bone in his mouth, and the bone does the talking. And if that's the case, he didn't do anything for the Yedoni, because putting something in your mouth is not the Isser, and it's just like a hachona to be able to do the shtick. But the point of the act is there is no maisa at all. And if there is no maisa, then the halacha is that you're not chayav achatas either, because there would not be any maisa involved in doing it. So we leave out that case. So why does Rabbi Yochanan, if he holds that either Ov or Yedoni is the same Isser, because it comes from the Ov Yedoni mentioning in one pasuk, so then why did the Mishnah say specifically Ov? I mean, it could have said Yedoni, and in doing so, had it said Yedoni, it would have been advantageous. Because remember that according to Reish Lakish, the Yedoni is not considered to actually be a chiyuv. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Yedoni is a chiyuv. So why in the world, if we're just taking one of them, do we mention the Ov? Wouldn't it be more reasonable to mention the Yedoni? But either one of them is standing in for the other. If you do one of them, just one of them, you'd be chayiv to bring a korban chatas. So we're saying, I don't want to say two, because if I say two, it's mashmah I would bring two chataot. Okay, but why use the example of either or? Why use the oath? Well, Rabbi Yochanan held that mishum de potach pekra, the very fact that every single time the Torah mentions Ov Yadoni, it's always in that order, Ov Yadoni. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said, listen, I'm not going to change the order that the Torah always uses. So he put Ov first. Doesn't mean that there was a particular understanding that he had of it. It's simply the way that the Torah does it. So what does Reish Lakish feel that he wouldn't accept what it was that Rabbi Yochanan said? I mean, it's actually very reasonable. Because, I mean, when you think about it, the whole point of the Mishnah and Krisis is to give me the maximum number of Krisis that I can have, right? So Shoshim, Shisha, Kristot, and each one of them is Mechayev a Korban. So if that's the point, I mean, the most reasonable thing to say is that the Mishnah could not list two, because then it would have come out with 37. And there aren't 37. There's only 36. Omer of Papa, the reason that Reish Lakish says that it's not true is because Ov and Yidoni actually are separated in the Pasuk. It's true they're not separated in the psukim that we brought for the Isser, but they're separated in the psukim of the Mayambam, because it says Ov, O Yidoni, to Mayhem Bam. I mean, the whole pasuk is Mot Yum Tu Be'Even Yir Gimoto to Mayhem Bam, but it says or specifically. So if it says or, you can't tell me that it's the same thing if each alone is mentioned as a separate thing. Therefore, Taina's Reish Lakish, there's no way that I could explain things in the Mishnah by saying that they're not separate issues. So because of that, I say the reason is it's left out because it isn't chayav chatas, because there is no maisa on it at all. It's the bone that presents the kol. And Rabbi Yochanan says the fact that the pasuk says oh in misa has nothing to do with the halacha. In order to be able to be mechayav a korban chatas separately, it's not where it appears as a separate misa, it's only where it appears as a separate azhara. And therefore, chalukah de lav is shmo chalukah. But chalukah de mita, lo shmo chalukah. So if the Torah says or, either or, in the onesh, that's not going to make a distinction of chiluk. Chalukah means chiluk chataot. Chiluk chataot is always a function of what iser did the person forget. And if in terms of the iser, it's always mentioned as one, so then there's no way to be mechayev shtu chataot. Okay, and what is it that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with in terms of what Reish Lakish says? I mean, the reality is there's no maisa, so why doesn't he agree with that as well? My time alone, Omar Reish Lakish. Omar Lacha, because remember the shita we were talking about yesterday of Rabbi Akiva and his machlokas with Chachomim? Whether you need a maisa, and the Mishnah increases, is going according to Rabbi Akiva, because it lists as well in the 36 a Megadev. And a Megadev doesn't have any Maisa except according to Rabbi Akiva, because his moving of his lips is his Maisa. So apparently, if it's going a Libet Rabbi Akiva, so then what's the difference if the Yidoni does a Maisa or doesn't do a Maisa? Points out Reish Lakish, well, that makes no sense. All that we said yesterday is that Rabbi Akiva does not require a maisa of Rabbi. He says moving your lips is also considered to be a maisa. But he certainly requires some maisa. By the Yidoni, there's zero maisa. The guy just sits there, and the voices of the dead come out of his mouth, out of his bone, and he doesn't move his lips. He doesn't do anything. So even though Rabbi Akiva doesn't require a maisa of Rabbi, he requires a maisa zuta, the moving of the lips. So, wait, let me understand. You're saying that Rabbi Akiva, who says that a megadev is chayev, there is a maisa. What exactly is the maisa? Well, there's moving his lips. Akimat zvatav. That is what Rabbi Akiva holds a Maisa. And as far as an Ov is concerned, what is the Maisa over there? I mean, he just has this voice coming up from under his arms. No, over there he has to be Hakashat Zro'otav. Havi Maisa. He has to squeeze his arms together, you know, to put a little pressure on the dead, and that way he gets the sounds. So that is what is considered to be the equivalent of the Maisa. Wait, but that's not a Maisa according to Rabbonan. That's only a Maisa according to Rabbi Akiva. Vafilu Rabbonan? I mean, Vatanya Eno Chayav El Adova Sheyeshbo Maaseh. We said over there, even on Avodah Zarah, you're not Chayav Achatas unless you actually do something. Let's say you shecht it, you go and see Buach, or Kitur, or Nisuch, or Ishtachava. And Reish Lakish said, this inclusion of bowing down, remember we just had this, bowing down, you'd be Chayav Achatas, you don't act upon anything. So what kind of Maisa is it? So we explained it, that it must be Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says, you don't require a Maisa. And therefore, it's bowing down. It's the same as moving your lips. What's the difference if you move your lips or you move your body? That's called a Maisa, according to Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't mean you act upon something. It just means you do something or another. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that could work out even according to the Rabbanan, because they would say, Kfifat komoto l'Rabbanan, have maisa. That is considered to be a true act. Bending your body. Now, explain to me. According to Reish Lakish, who says, Kfifat komoto l'Rabbanan lo have maisa. So how does this work? Reish Lakish says that the Rabbanan definitely do not hold that bending down and bowing is a maisa at all. So why would Hakashat Zro'otav Debalov have Maisa? So why did he say that just because he's putting a little pressure over there on his underarm deodorant, that that would be considered to be a Maisa according to everybody? Why would that be a Maisa if Kfufat Komato is not a Maisa? No, you misunderstand. Reish Lakish actually was explaining it only according to Rabbi Akiva. But it's true. According to the Rabbanan, it would not be considered a Maisa at all. So it would be the same as moving your lips. But that's ridiculous. Because if you're telling me that squeezing your arms together is not considered to be a Maisa, so then Ihachi, if he would say that, then they should, the according to these Rabbanan, it should say not Yotza Megadev. Rabbanan say Yotze Begadif in Bo Maisa. It should say Yotze Begadif u Baal Ov. Because according to them, the Baal Ov is no different than the Megadif. The Megadif is not considered to be a Maisa because he's just moving his lips, and the Baal Ov is just moving his arms. And you just said that that's the same thing, and that Reish Lakish was only explaining it according to Rabbi Akiva. But he would never have claimed that according to the Rabbanan, it's considered to be a Maisa. Then why did the Rabbanan seem to agree that a Baal Ov is indeed maybe a Chatas, despite the fact that there's no Maisa? Whereas when it came to the Megadev, the Rabbanan said, well, you can't include the Megadev because there's no Maisa at all. There's obviously some kind of difference here between Ov and Megadev. That's a problem. Okay, you know what? It must be that the Mishnah over there in Croesus is not referring to the same Baal Ov that we have here in our Mishnah. There's different ways of doing this necromancy stuff, you know? So you want to walk in, you know, to what kind of weird names they give themselves, you know, but Miss Margaret's spiritualist crystal ball. Okay, she uses crystal balls. This one uses something else. The same thing is true of Ov. There's different ways of doing this business of Ov, of this piton. And there it's talking about a mekater l'shade. So somebody burns this incense to demons. And that's the way that he gets the dead to talk to him, you know. So he speaks through a demon. Okay, that's a real action. You're acting upon something, and you're burning incense. Amalei Rava, burning incense. Burning incense to a demon is just another form of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is listed as a separate thing. This is fascinating that there should be a general concept of Avodah Zarah with burning to demons. Because, I mean, like, is that like just a general thing that if you believe in these demons, then any time that you would burn something? I mean, what was that really nice demon guy? What was his name? Bartimaeus? What about nice demons? Anyway, this is a very interesting because there actually was, believe it or not, a recent minhag among Persian Jews, in the old days when Jews actually still lived in Persia, when the good old Shah was around, and Persia was a happy place. So they actually had this minhag that they used to burn incense to demons. It's the craziest thing. Rav Kook Zatzal has got in his tshuvas, this whole letter that was sent to the Jews in Persia, telling them that it's an Isser Gomor, and that it's like Avodah Zarah based on this Gemara. But over there gets into the details, as we're going to see, that there's different ways of burning to these powers. And what it means over here, it was not Mekater to a demon, but he was Mekater as basically a conjurer. That's called a chaber. Now, a chaber is, the Lashon means, as it does in the Hebrew, chaber means to put things together, and conjury is exactly the same root in English, which means to put things together. So it's actually the exact word that we need for chaber. So what he does is that there's conjury. Conjury means that it's somebody who has this power to get different things to get together. So let's say you know what it is? It's the Pied Piper. That's what it is. So the Pied Piper story is that you are able to gather together things. So there were Pied Pipers for wasps, Pied Pipers for wild animals, Pied Pipers for dogs. So they have this way of gathering together this type of animal, or gathering together all the wasps and getting them out of town and stuff like that. So that's a conjurer. So over here, somebody is Mekater Lechaber. What he's doing is he's trying to conjure these demons. He's not trying to talk to these demons or worship these demons. It's a way of getting Bartimaeus to appear. That's the point. And that is just not as an Aveda. It's just a way in which you get things to get together. Now, that is Usher, but it's not a Chiv of Chorus. It is a love. So you can't be referring to that, Tainus Abaya, because Amikater v'chaber should be included in the general Isser of Chover Chover. Chover Chover is to do any of this conjury stuff, to get together any kind of things. And there, it's only a Chiv of an Azara. It's not a Chiv of a Korban Chatas. Says Rava, no, it's not true. I still say what I say. It's a type of chaver, but this particular type of chaver is beskila. So the Torah includes this, since it's being done as a general ov type of thing. So it's mechayev as an ov, but that doesn't mean that it has to be a different type of thing completely. Tana Rabbana. Here in the Braita, we talk about this chaver that is not mechayev kares. V'chover chover. Okay, so it says in the Pasuk, lo yimatze becha, and in this list of lo yimatze, there should not be a chover chover. That means any type of chover. It doesn't matter whether it's a chever gadol, it's an echet chever katan, afil nechashim v'akrovim. There's these really impressive chavery, which is to get together these large animals, or it could be small animals, maybe he wants to get the dogs all around, or even if it's things like nechashim v'akravim, and just to keep the town safe from these various poisonous snakes and scorpions. Omra Abaye, well, if that's true, then Haiman, the tzomid zibura v'akrava, afagad v'mechavi de lolisku usher. That would mean that it would be usher for a person to use this type of magic to get damaging and dangerous things like a scorpion and a wasp. So this guy wants to put together scorpions and wasps so that they should fight each other and use up their whatever they have, which is poisonous, against each other, kill each other off, and get them off of me. So that would be usher, because you're being becholzo, being mechaver chover. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a problem. You said that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he said afilu l'rabbanan, hishtachavoya is considered to be a maisa, and is b'chayev yuachatas, and kfifas komaso is a maisa. I don't understand. What is the difference between bending down, not acting upon anything, moving your body, but when it comes to the megadev, there we said, well, no, the rabbanan say beferish. Not Megadev, because Megadev doesn't have a Maisa. Why not? Why is Akimat Svatav not a Maisa? If you're telling me that the Kvifat Komato, which is for Ishtachavoya, not acting upon anything at all, just moving your body, is considered to be a Maisa for Ishtachavoya, then why is moving your lips not a Maisa when it comes to the din of Megadev? Answers the Gemara, because the Megadev is not really chayev for the speaking. The Megadev is actually chayev. Hol v'yeshno b'lev. The real truth is that, in fact, if Bezdin were able to read your mind, so then they would be mechayev you for having that Birchas Hashem in your mind. It's just that, okay, they can't be mechayev you for what's in your mind, but the bottom line is, when you speak, it's not for the speaking. It's for the curse that you have in mind. And that is essentially internal. Because of that, there we say that you can't be Machai of him on the speaking. Masiv Rabbi Zera, how can you say that? It says that Edim Zomimim are not Chai of Echatas. So let's say that they claim that somebody did something and we find that they weren't even there. No matter what, they could never be chayev achatas because am I? If you're telling me that moving your lips is considered to be a maisa, and the only reason that the moving of the lips of the Megadev is because the Rabbanan say, because it's not what you're saying, that's the Isser. And therefore, Akimat Svatav, let's say somebody would write down his gidov. Maybe even that could be considered to be a gidov, because now Bezdin knows that he's being Megadev. Maybe, I don't know. But in any event, it would make no sense that we should exclude in the Braita Edim Zomimim because they don't do anything. But why not? You just said that speaking is a Maisa. And it's only because the Megadev was in the heart and not in the speech. Edim Zomimim is clearly in the speech. Amar Rava, no, not true. Shine Edim Zomimim, the Edim Zomimim is not in the speech. The Edim Zomimim is in the information and the sound. Well, sound is not something that you could put your hands on. It's not something that you're acting upon at all, and it's not even an act. So the fact that you move your lips to produce sound is irrelevant, because that's not the issue. If they could provide that information without moving their lips, so then it would be exactly the same edus. And since it's yeshlo bekol, it's the voice that's the so-called act. A voice is not an act. Oh, really now? A voice is not an act. You're telling me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a voice is not an act. Well, let me prove to you that it is. Kol Rabbi Yochanan lav maisu? You're claiming that Rabbi Yochanan would hold that a voice is not an act. Well, let me tell you something that Rabbi Yochanan says, and you'll see that that's not true. Ve'a itmar. Somebody is using his animal to do threshing. So this is lo tachson shor b'disho. You are not allowed to put a muzzle over an animal, preventing it to eat while it's working for you, right? Now, suppose every time it tries to eat, you shout at it and you prevent it from eating. Or There's another issue that has to do with possibly your voice. Let's say you've got two different species that are hooked up to a plow, and you get them to move by saying, eek, or whatever you say, right? And that gets the animals to move. Then that would be considered, according to Reb Yochanan, chayav. You're chayav to get malchus. How could you be chayav to get malchus if all that you did was create a sound, and it's the sound that did the point, and it's Reb Yochanan himself who says that you're chayav because that's considered to be a maisa. So don't give me this business about there's being a difference between Akima Tzvastav and Kol. Dafka Reb Yochanan is the one who says Kol is considered to be a maisa. It's Reish Lakish who says that you're potter. So Reb Yochanan says you're chayav is clearly because he holds, as he said about Ishtach Havaya, that Akimat Piv Havei Maaseh. Whereas Reish Lakish holds that it's potter, because Akimat Piv Lo Havei Maaseh. So that's not the answer. So explain to me why Edim Zomimim would not be considered to be chayev because of the fact that they produce this sound, and they speak, and it's Akimat Svatav. Ela Omar Rava, Ho'il V'yeshnan Beri'ya. Since what is the basis of the whole concept of Edim Zomimim, or of Edus in general, is essentially their main activity is the fact that they register the event, and then they recreate the event that they registered with their eyes. Now, it's true that there was no event, because they're Edim Zomimim, they're lying about the event. And at least we're assuming that they're lying, because the Torah said to believe the second Edim that came to say you weren't even there, so you couldn't have seen the event. But the nature of Edus, this is how Rashi learns, the nature of Edus is the translation of what it was that was seen. And therefore, Edim Zomimim is a violation of that concept of seeing and transmitting the seeing. And therefore, the fact that it's done through speaking, that's not the issue. That's only the modality through which it's done. But what is being done is the creation of an artificial re'ia that we're not relying on you as having recreated. So, therefore, it would be the equivalent of pushing a button on Princess Leia's hologram, you know. Okay, so that creates Princess Leia for you. But in reality, it's not the pushing of the button that's the problem. It's the recreation that the empire is going to get you for, and not for the pushing of the button. So Rashi says that's the same thing when it comes to Edim. None of the other Rishonim like the comparison to Princess Leia. And therefore, the Rif comes up with a but he's semich on some of the Gaonim who have this girsa, if I had this girsa, that this girsa is a mistake. It doesn't say re'ia, it says ia, without the resh. Now, ia in Arabic means I. Yes, me too, which is a reference back to the question that we said before, that if we don't want, in the case of the Megad, if we don't want the other aid to actually state what it is that he saw, so he can say, we'll ask him, did you see the same thing? And he says, aye, sir, or ia in Arabic, or in Aramaic. But all of those kinds of words don't require you to move your mouth. So you don't even have akimat svatav. That's the point. So since theoretically they don't have to really speak, so that's why we're saying that it would be a different thing, that you cannot be mechayev them because it boils down to ayah. Okay, so according to Rashi, re'ia, according to the Rif, ia, and there's a lot of bitter discussions about this, because you must admit it's a very strange kind of pshat. However, there seems to be a lot of basis for it if you take a look in other sugyas. So, all right. Tana Rabboni. Around what?
Mm-hmm. And it's very pronounced, maybe it's a thought, but it's very pronounced that if somebody is listening, his mouth is open. but just
sticking. Yeah, they always make sounds like that. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. One of the most ugly parts of Palestinian Arabic. Literally like animals. Right. Turn around on it. So in the Braisa, we say, what is an ov? Baal ov, zeh medaber bein haprakim, is somebody who has the dead spirit, is speaking from inside of the joints of his body, or from his armpits, like we said in our Mishnah, bein atzila yadav, and yidoni is somebody who takes a bone of a yadua, which seems to be some type, some Rishonim is type of bird, some say it's this type of animal. He puts that etzem in his mouth. So, zeh medi'ach etzem yadua. This doesn't mean a known type of bone. It means a bone of a yadua. He puts it in his mouth, and the sound comes out without his moving his mouth, without his creating any sounds. And it's very impressive to hear the dead speaking out of his mouth. Meitvei, v'haya ke'ov mi'eretz kolech. Now, what is this supposed to mean? Yeshayahu says that if you end up not really doing tshuva, then basically the entire kol of Yisrael will turn into like these kols that come from deep in the earth. Okay, so that means that the voice of an ov comes from Me'eretz. It comes from deep in the earth. And you're claiming that it comes from between your joints or your armpits. It doesn't say that, my love. It's mashma that basically you do this in a graveyard, right? And then you hear deep down from inside the grave, the dead speaks to you in this low voice. All right, so then that's a whole different deal. So why does Yeshayahu say that the speaking of the Ov is coming from the ground? No, it doesn't mean that it's mishtaiki urche, that it's speaking directly the way it normally... I mean, when you normally speak to the dead, they speak to you from the grave, don't they? I mean, why would this guy be speaking from somebody's armpits? No, it means that it's solik v'yosef bin aprokim u'mishtoi. Comes out of the grave and sits between your armpits or between your various joints. Well, that doesn't seem to be true from the story of Shaul. It says over there, Toshma, Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul, good heavens, Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz. I saw what appeared to be a godlike thing. This was referring to the neshama of Shmuel Hanovi, who was like a singer malach. Elohim olim min ha'aretz. What do you mean olim min ha'aretz? Does that mean that he was speaking min ha'aretz? No. I saw the spirit coming up out of the ground, and it was Yosef ben Abrokin, umishtoi. Well, there's another brisa, Tana Rabbana, Baal of, that would be somebody who he gets the spirit talking out of his penis. Wow. Now that's the way that Rashi understands it. So it's Ma'ala B'Zechuroi. The obvious problem with that is that the Ba'alat Ov would seem to have quite a problem since she didn't own one of those. And because of that, how did she do her business? So this is an alternative approach that it doesn't mean Zechuro. It means the Zechuro of the mate. Maybe means something else entirely. So it doesn't matter. Echad ha'mala b'zichuro, echad ha'nish'al b'gugolet, or you could just put a skull on a table like in all those pictures they like to show, you know, the balas, oh, speaking to a skull on the table, you know, and you talk to the skull. And ma'ben zelazeh, well, if you're ma'ala b'zichuro, so then what usually happens is that this dead spirit comes backwards, feet first. So, ina ola kedarko. And not only that, you can't get it to answer you on Shabbos. Which is Marumas in the Arizal songs, right? In the songs that we sing in the Shabbos. So the One of the things is that Shabbos is Mikol Charashin, that is Mevatel all of this Kishuv kind of stuff, right? So that's a reference to this. It doesn't work on Shabbos. You can't do Kishuv on Shabbos. Nish'al b'gogolet, but if you talk to a skull, so then Ola Kedarko, it comes up head first, and it comes up on Shabbos. What do you mean comes up? Where does it come up from? What are you talking about? It's sitting there in front of you. I thought you were sitting talking to this skull. So Lahecha Solik Hakamei Manach. He's sitting right there on the table in front of you. No, yeah, it's a mistake. It's not on Ole, it's One Kidarko. So if you have a skull, so then it just answers. And then it would be One B'Shabbos as well, because you're just talking to it. So it's very, I think it's the oracle in there who points out that what would be the reason that you would get no response from the dead on Shabbos? So it says very pashut. It says in the Gemara that Shmuel brought along Moshe Rabbeinu to be made because he thought he was being called to din, right? So, and he says to show, why did you scare the hell out of me? So I thought I was being called to din. You can't be called to din on Shabbos because there's no din on Shabbos. So he would have known that it's a fake call. And therefore, he would have simply had his phone off. Masha'in Kane, if it's during the week, you never know. It might be a call to the Bezdin Shomala, in which case he's Zayla. Masha'in Kane, when you're talking directly to this skull, you're not being called anywhere. You're just being asked questions. So therefore, you would be on Shabbos. Why not? You can have a nice conversation on Shabbos. V'af she'ela zo, this is one of the different conversations that we find in various places, that Turnus Rufus, who was the governor that was appointed by Rome, so he used to have all kinds of these questions, and he would have these debates with Rabbi Akiva. So one of the other things, v'af she'ela zo, so this was another question that Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva. And he said to Rabbi Akiva on a Shabbos, he said to him, Mayom miyomayim, tell me, what is so great about today? It seems like any other day as far as I can tell. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva says to him, yeah, umar gevar miguvrin. And who is this idiot that I'm talking to that makes him different than any other person? He looks just like everybody else as far as I know, and he seems to think that he's very special. So who is he? Omar Leza, Turnus Rufus says, what do you mean? De Maritzave. Caesar has so declared, and he thinks I'm special. So said Rabbi Akiva, well, Shabbos also. De Maritzave. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that's special. What are you asking me, my yomi yomi? Well, you're the one who's supposed to know why it's special. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows why it's special. Omar Leza, that's not what I'm asking. I understand that. I'm asking, how do you know that today is Shabbos? I claim Sunday is Shabbos, being a nice Christian. You're claiming today is Shabbos. I mean, do you see any indications that objectively claim or objectively prove that your claim that today is Shabbos is true? It looks like any other day, so you can't objectively see that it's Shabbos. That's what I'm asking you. How do you know today is Shabbos? Maybe you've lost track of the day. Omar Loz, Rabbi Akiva said, there's lots of objective indications that today is Shabbos. Let's take a look at the Nahar Sabbatyon, the Shabbos River. So that Shabbos River, all week long, it is very, very active. It's got all kinds of rocks and strong, they love to ride the Shabbaton River for these, what do they call them? These wild rides that you take in those white water rafting. I just said that, Barnea. You're in a warp. So, so the Sabbatyon is a great white water rafting river. And the big problem is that you can't use it on Shabbos. Dafka on the weekend, it stops working. Why? That's why they call it the Shabbos River. On Shabbos, everything cools down, and there's no white water. So that's a good indication. And how about a Baal Ov? You can't get a spirit to respond to you on Shabbos with this Ov stuff, and I've got an even better proof. Why don't you go to the grave of your father and note that it stopped smoking on Shabbos, where your father's sitting in hell, and on Shabbos, they let things off. So maybe that would be enough of a proof to you that Shabbos is objectively different. Oh, my Lord, what a disgusting thing to say. Bizito, look at how you're talking about my father. My father's in hell. Biashto, Kilalto, disgusting. How do you talk to me? I'm going to stop asking you questions. Anyway, very sweet. So, ask the Gemara. Okay, we have over here two different things in that pasuk, and they seem to actually boil down to the same thing. So it says, you should not have Oyimat Sebecha. And then it says two different things. The Doresh El Ametim, and the Shoel Ovi Adoni. But that's the same thing. I thought the way you're describing this whole thing is that the Ov is calling up the spirit of the dead. So what is the difference between the Ov or Doresh El Hametim? Seems to be exactly the same business. Ah, because it's done differently. Look, Doresh El Hametim is done as the Brisa says. Kiritanya. V'Doresh El Hametim. What is that? Ze hamar ivatzmo v'holech v'lam bebet ha'kfarot k'dei she'tishrei alav ruach tum'ah. This is somebody who keeps a tainis, and he goes and he sleeps in the cemetery because he wants to be zeicha to ruach ha'kodesh in his vision, to be able to speak to the dead, which is really a ruach of tum'ah. U'kishahaya Rabbi Akiva magia l'mikra zeh, when Rabbi Akiva would come to this pasuk, he would start crying. Haya bocheh, this Doresh El Hametim. Apparently, people believe that they get communication from the dead, and that's when they do this kind of stuff. So imagine, hamar'iv atzmo k'dei she'tishrei alav ruach tumah. This guy gets all kinds of visions and crazy experiences of speaking with the dead because he was miyachid himself to make a tainis in order to get the ruach hatumah. And he gets it. Shorel of ruach tumah. The guy becomes a completely disgusting individual. So you would think if that's the case, if somebody keeps a tainis in order to be zeichet to ruach taira, he wants to be zeichet to neviyas, he wants to be zeichet to ruach hakodesh, it never works. And you would think, alachat kama v'kama. I mean, how come he never gets this ruach taira? How do you explain that? Avomayase, what should I do? That's the reality. Shavonotenu gormulano. Shinemar ki avonotechem ayum avdilim benchem levein elohechem. There's no way that we're going to be zochet to things that are supposed to bring kedusha when our actions are not right. We do sins. Amar Rava, these sins are what make us just human. But he both tzaddiki, if tzaddikim would want to actually become complete tzaddikim, they could create worlds. Shenemar, that pasuk improves it. Kima vonotechem ayum avdilim binchem levin Elohechem. The only thing that separates between you and God is all of these avinos that you do. But if not that, you should be able to build worlds yourself. Actually, Rava made a person, Bara Gavra, so he made a person with instructions from the Sefer HaYetzirah, and he sent his person to Rebbe Zera. Now, this looked like a real perfect humanoid. It was a very good robot. He sends it to Rebbe Zera, and Rebbe Zera is very impressed. Rebbe Zera is speaking and trying to communicate, and this thing does not respond. So Rebbe said, get out of here. Rebbe Zera says, get out of here. You're not a person. Min chavraya ad. You are obviously a result of Rava Robotics. Min chavraya ad. Hadar la'afrech. Go back to your dust. I don't want these kind of things walking around town. So this is the old Maharal shtick, right? With the way to protect yourself from the goyim. You just make these golems. So here's the golem. Rabbi Hanina. What? Rabbi Hanina v'Ravoshaya. Aviyasve komale shabata. V'aski b'sefer yitzira. Now this is great. Because if you don't have any meat for your cholent, so all you need to do, you make a seder. So Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hoshaya made a seder on Erev Shabbos to learn the Sefer HaYetzira, and they would always create, using the Sefer Yetzira, this calf. Very high-quality calf. It was an igla tilta. So this is a problem, because many usually understand igla tilta to mean a third-born calf. But if you create it out of the Rava robotics, it wasn't born at all. So how could an igla tilta mean a third-born calf? So it must be the other pshat that is said all the time, that an igla tilta was that it's grown one-third of the way to adulthood, and that is the best time in which it's most tasty. So that's what it must mean here. So they would make this thing, and then they would make a cholent out of it. The achlilei. So that's a great way. First of all, it saves a lot of time on shopping, saves a lot of money, and it's very impressive to be able to actually get into Shabbos after having been bore on Erev Shabbos. That's the avonotechem ayum avdilin. Okay, now we got to move on to the next iser. It says in the pasuk, or a mi'onein. So we had that as part of our list. Lo yimatzebecha, ma'avir b'no, bito be'esh, kosem k'samim, mi'onein. What exactly is mi'onein? Now, this word mi'onein seems to come from the same word for time issues, like oino, right? But that would be involving various zmanim, but it's a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon Omer, it's zeh ha-ma'avir shiv'a mine zechur al ha'ayin. What he does is, he takes sperm from seven different types of animals and puts them over his eyes to be able to get information. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, it's an ochez et ha'ayin. It actually is the onen from the word eye, in the same way that Tanakama holds. But what it means is that he does sleight of hands. So he makes these illusions. And that would be the is. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it comes from not ayin, but from the ona, ona being itim v'sha'ot. Zezeh mechashev itim v'sha'ot. So these are the kind of guys where you want to look in your daily, what do they call it? Horograph, right? Horograph, which is horoscope. So the hours, the scope of the hours. So that's ma'onein. So he's going to tell you, okay, you want to sign this business deal. It should be at 106. That's when the stars are properly aligned for you to make this deal. And it's that kind of nonsense. So what he does is he says, okay, today's a good day to embark on your tour. Hayom yafelet seit. Tomorrow is a good day for buying carpets. Limudei arve shviyot chitim yafot. It's normal on Erev Shvius that you will have the best kind of wheat. Or ikure chitniot meyot raot. If you take off, most of this has to do with the Shvius. So you pick your chitniot. That's going to stop them on Erev Shvius. It's going to stop kidneys from getting ruined over the year, whatever. So these are a type of suspicion about that is focused on time issues. Now, this raises some very serious problems, because if you say it's an ochez et ha'inayim, so then that means he's an illusionist, where he's not really doing anything. He's just making people think that you're doing something. And if that's the case, what about all of these magical tricks that people do, where they have performances at weddings to entertain the guests or entertain the chosam, the kala, and they do all of these things? So The truth is that Rav Avadi Yosef, Tainas, that this is mamish and Isser D'Oraisa, and he doesn't see any difference between the achizat enayim, where the person claims to be doing magic, or an achizat enayim, which has nothing to do with magic and is just showing off his dexterity in doing sleight of hands. However, Rav Moshe Zatzal, he was asked about this, and he says, look, I have to tell you that personally, I believe it has nothing to do with this achizas einayim. Achizas einayim only has to do with someone who is pretending to doing real magical tricks. If a guy gets up there and he's telling you, take a look how this looks like it's magic, and it's nothing but my ability to do things in a way of sleight of hands that you would believe it's real magic, and it's nothing. It's entertainment. So how would that be an iser that is part of this business about superstition, magical beliefs? It's nothing. It's just entertainment. That's my personal opinion. Time is Reb Moshe. However, in deference to the early shitas that seem to paskin that even this type of thing is usher, I don't want to actually paskin. But if I was pushed into it and I was actually asked by a chassan v'kala, you know, do we have to fire this guy? I would say go right ahead, and it's not a problem. And there's various other modern shaitas v'tshuvas that also hold that it's not a problem. However, obviously, if Rav Avadia Yosef makes a big fuss about it, there's a lot of people that are going to follow Rav Avadia Yosef. So it's best not to invite them to the wedding. This is a Trump kind of, you know, giving a presidential order. No more magicians at the weddings. Tana Rabbana. The Torah also talks about
kids' parties.
What about what? What's that?
Magicians from kids' parties.
Yeah, yeah. You say they're entertainers, parties. Yeah, so Rav Avadi Yosef doesn't like it. But I don't know. Okay. Tana Rabbana. What's the next thing in the pasuk that we talk about? It's the minachesh. What exactly is a minachesh? So it's somebody who augury, it's called in English, right? So that was the lo yimatzei b'cha ma'avir b'no u'bito b'eish, kosem k'samim, ma'onen u'minachesh. Okay, so we spoke about the ma'onen. What's a minachesh? A minachesh is superstitious responses to events, like a black cat crossed your path, or you walked under a ladder, you're dead, all kinds of insanity like that. You know, be careful not to walk on the cracks in the sidewalk because you'll break your grandmother's back. I don't know, all types of nonsense. All of that stuff is called minachesh. Zeha omer, there'll be somebody who says, oh, pitona flami piv, his mouth, he dropped his bread from his mouth. It's very dangerous to go outside today. Or maklona flami ado. Or b'no korelo me'achorav, if his son called him from behind, that means he's been called to the grave. Or orev korevlo, he's been called by the owl. You know, that's, I mean, obviously an orev is not an owl, but that's a common belief. Or tzviv, siko baderach, a deer walked in front of him. Maybe it was a black deer, but whatever. Nachash mi'imino, ashu'al mi'smalo. Oh my God, if there's a snake that's coming towards you from the right, or a fox that's coming towards you from the left, thank heavens Richie is on the right side of the screen today. And so if a fox is coming at you from the left, that is a terrible sign, and it means do not do whatever it is today. Maybe it's something that has, oh my gosh, Richie moved over to the left. Oh, this is terrifying. It must mean you can't have Ben and Jerry's today, Richie. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, or a guy says to the tax collector, don't start with me today, because starting with me today is a very bad sign because of what any of these things. I don't pay my taxes in the morning. Shachritzu. And that's a very bad way to start a day. So come back in the afternoon, will you? Or he says, it's Rosh Chodesh. I don't pay taxes on Rosh Chodesh. Come back tomorrow. It's Mitzray Shabbos. On Mitzray Shabbos, you're not allowed to pay taxes, and so on. So all of these are considered to be Nichushim. That's going to ruin the week. Can you imagine if the first thing you do on Mitzray Shabbos is pay taxes? Tana Rabbanan. Lo tenachashu velo te'onenu. Kegon elu hamanachashim b'chulda. People who take a look at the black cats, or ba'ofot, or bedagim, in all of these cases, you would be over on an Isser D'Oraisa, which is not one of the Chataot, of course, not one of the Chayve Kritot. And if you've got, let's say, a bird that comes to drink your coffee, and it's right there on your table, and you say, this is a sign that I should not be drinking coffee today, then that would be a type of Nichush that would be very dangerous to believe in.